President Trump has offered Mexico help in stopping the drug cartel violence that has killed 250,000 people over the past two decades. The United States has assisted Mexico in the war on drugs for years, providing training, intelligence, and equipment. Now the question is, what more can the U.S. do? For the answer, we turn to Bernard Zaper, a former special agent in charge with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives in Phoenix. Let's start with our approach to helping Mexico deal with the cartels. How effective have we been?
I think we have, as the United States, we've done a symptom-addressing way of approaching this, which is not effective. It would be much like if somebody had a mysterious illness and they're attacking the fact that they have a reduced blood pressure or other symptoms instead of having a strategic approach that looks at causation. That's the difficulties here with what's going on. Number one driver of this, of course, is that the cartels have a phenomenal business plan. They are able to pivot to the demands of the contraband economy, whatever it is. You can see their migration currently to synthetic heroin, for example, because that's where the demand and the addiction is at. Just like the pivot to the recent uptick in methamphetamine, which had reduced at one point. This ability to address demand gives them the money and the resources to be armed. Their ability to be armed makes them powerful. There's almost an ego and a culture that goes with all this. But we're looking at two things here. One is the world, not only the United States, is driving the demand for this contraband, and Mexico, in its current state, is able to fulfill it. The arms into Mexico from the United States is not addressed. There's a false belief that there's some kind of law that prevents that. It's very ineffective because essentially somebody could buy or straw purchase a firearm in the United States and take it into the Republic of Mexico. There's really no vanguard for that, because the only way we could stop somebody is watch them go from the time they buy it all the way into Mexico. You don't have to address what you're doing with a firearm when you buy it in the United States. The gray market economy, the gray market firearms market, is with the supplier of firearms for the cartels. But the violence of the cartels is really a symptom of their ability to run and address the needs in terms of demand of the United States and globally that makes them ultimately powerful. They're unregulated, very industrious organizations.
Well, as much as there have been efforts to whatever extent, whether it's the so-called war on drugs or just trying to get people to deal better with addiction, knowing that those are in play, is there something that the U.S. can do that could be effective even in a relatively small-scale way when it comes to fighting the cartels or helping Mexico? Or, as you describe the problem, is it so multi-pronged and so large that it's hard to make even more than a dent?
I think this is achievable to knock this down in our lifetime, but it's going to take a lot of effort and concentrations in a variety of disciplines. This is not a law enforcement or military response because, again, we're just attacking the infection that's only one part of a system failure here. I'd say, unfortunately, this is analogous to a counterinsurgency of radicalized Islamic terrorism in the Middle East, where they prey on their own. And so we have this in this contraband economy with the warring cartels. So just stopping arms in the United States, that's just providing less tools to them. But it's disrupting their business plan from a number of different aspects, economical, financial, the right type of support for the Republic of Mexico. It's going to take all of that. I think it's achievable, but it has to be a focus that this is not a drug war, drug violence, because that model has failed repeatedly in our history, and it's failing right now. And then secondly, people need to be cautious about traveling there, because as much as it provides a place of entertainment and all the values that, you know, Mexico is an enchantment in some ways, it's dangerous right now. I wouldn't let my family go there.
Wow. Okay. Does this tragedy highlight what you already knew was going on, in essence, that a lot of us don't think about the cartels on a daily basis?
The people of Mexico suffer daily with this. The amount of suffering in Mexico is shocking. The amount of carnage is unconscionable. This is getting attention because they're Americans. But there was just 13 Mexican policemen murdered in the last couple weeks at one time. People in Mexico are suffering and have suffered for quite some time. That's just as unconscionable as this, and it's going to continue. And again, it's going to take a multinational approach and concentration on this issue. We can't just dismiss it as something that's happening in Mexico, that this is the normal course of business or this is okay for that country, because it's not. You know, would our immigration pressures be reduced if this didn't exist in Mexico? Arguably, absolutely. There's a cause and effect with all of it, but this is nothing new. There's been suffering and people are being murdered, slaughtered, tortured there on a daily basis. They have the ability of coming to the United States. Every place there's a drug market, a street drug market in the United States that has any connection, which they all will eventually if they don't already. That type of violence can escalate here very easily. So if people want to be centric about the United States, they should be concerned on that fact alone. But the fact that here we are, the United States, in a neighboring country that we have so many cultural and historic ties to, is having daily mutilations is unacceptable. And as a country, we should not accept it, regardless who's being killed, Mexicans, Americans, Central Americans, whomever. It's right in our back door. And we should never feel that that's okay in any way.
Bernard Zaper is a faculty associate at ASU School of Criminology and Criminal Justice. He was also special agent in charge with the ATF Phoenix Division. Bernard, thanks for the time today.
Have a great day.